Good morning, awesome family. Absolutely awesome family. I love, love, love being part of this church. I love every one of you. Every one of you. You're my family. You're my brothers. You're my sisters. And I love being part of you. I really do love being part of you. This has got nothing to do with what I'm going to say, so I'm just padding it out a bit. But I do absolutely love being part of this church. I really do. All I ever want to do is to be an encourager. I want to encourage myself. I want to encourage each of you individually and encourage us as a church. And I hope that comes across, that every time I speak to you, that I'm an encouragement to you. As Dorothy said, we are working our way through this booklet talking about the people of God. We are the people of God. We are absolutely the people of God. We're the people of God here in Britwell. It's important that we grasp that. We may not see ourselves as God sees us. Maybe that's because of our frailty. Maybe it's because of our uncertainty, not sure of where God wants us to be or what he wants us to be. But we need to be open. This is about the fifth time I've preached in this church. But every time, apart from the last time and this morning, I've really struggled with it. Because a little voice has been on my shoulder saying, "Who are you? You're not worthy to preach." But a month or so ago, I accepted the fact that God wants me to preach. I love doing it. I love being up here. When I look out, you don't see what I see. You do not see the expectation on your faces. And it's great. And you don't see the love that comes from you. We should have a great big mirror up here so you can see what we can see. I don't know if other people who stand up here feel the same, that you see this expectation on people's faces. I have got notes here, but I feel that God's going to blow them out the water, but I'm going to see where it goes. Mary, thank you for absolutely awesome worship. Absolutely awesome worship. And again, when you prepare something you're going to say, you're not absolutely certain that it's exactly what God wants you to say. But I've had so much confirmation this morning in the worship and also in the declaration. Don't hear you. As I said, we're working through people of the Bible. This one I'm going to be looking at Samuel. Hannah was married to Elkanah, but she was barren. She couldn't bear children. Elkanah had a second wife, Peninnah, who had multiple children. We're told she had sons, plural. She had daughters, plural. So she had at least 4 children by Elkanah. And Anna was suffering because she was barren and couldn't produce children. And Peninnah, the nice person she was, used to rub Anna's nose in it, used to flaunt her children in front of her, point out that she was barren and she was producing children willy-nilly, basically. But Elkanah loved Hannah very much. You have to take this off. Right. Elkanah loved Hannah very much. He even says to her in verse 8, "Am I not more to you than 10 sons?" He even gave her double portions. We're talking about portions in the declaration. Even gave her, even gave her double portions from the food distributed from the temple. Eventually, Anna decided she had suffered enough. She took her grief and pain to God. At the temple, she poured her heart out to God. Verse 10. Hannah was in distress of soul and weeping bitterly. She prayed that God would show favor to her and give her a son. She vowed that if the Lord favored her with a son, she would give him to the Lord to serve him all his days. Her motive for wanting a son was selfless. She didn't just want a son to call her own. She didn't even want a son to bless Elkanah or to get even with Peninnah. For all the grief she suffered over the years, she wanted a son as a gift from God so that she could honour God as he honoured her by giving her a son to serve the Lord all his days. The chief priest, Eli, observed Anna praying and assumed she was drunk. She showed him she was sober. She told him she was a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I was pouring out my complaint and bitter provocation to God. Eli blessed her and sent her on her way. Her face was no longer downcast, and she went and had something to eat. Why would Eli assume Anna was drunk? Because she was distressed and her lips were moving in prayer. I really can't understand that. In due course, Anna gave birth to a son and named him Samuel, which means heard from God, heard of God. When Samuel had been weaned onto solid food, about 2 to 3 years old, Hannah kept her promise to the Lord and presented Samuel to the temple so that he would follow God all the days of his life. This can't have been an easy decision for her to make. Not just the fact that she was giving up her son, she must have known about the corruption and abuse of power that was going on in the temple. If she didn't, Elkanah certainly would have known. So this can't have been an easy decision. But she honoured her promise to God. Honoured her promise to God. The Lord's hand was on this situation and was about to dramatically change it. 1 Samuel 2:27. A man of God came to Eli and said to him, "This is what the Lord says. Did I not clearly reveal myself to your ancestors' family when they were in Egypt under Pharaoh? I chose your ancestor out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to go up to my altar, to burn incense, and to wear an ephod in my presence. I also gave your ancestors' family all the food offerings presented by the Israelites. Why do you scorn my sacrifice and offering that are prescribed for my dwelling? Why do you honour your sons more than me by fattening yourselves on the choice parts of every offering made by my people Israel? I promised that members of your family would minister before me forever. But because of their disobedience and abuse of their position, the Lord removes his promise from the line of Eli. Not just Eli, but his sons and all of their descendants. This must have grieved God. God is not a God of here today, gone tomorrow promises. When God makes a promise, it's a solid promise. We sing all your promises, the yes and amen. So when God makes a promise, that promise is for life. So it must have been really obnoxious to God as to what Eli and his sons were doing. So he didn't just remove the promise. He destroyed Eli, his two sons, and a daughter-in-law. Far be it from me. Those who honour me, I will honour. But those who despise me will be disdained. It will reach old age. Although good will be done to Israel, no one in your line will reach old age. It talks in there about an ephod. Wearing an ephod. An ephod must have been a special garment, probably for priests and servants of the Lord. Later on, we're told that Anna provided Samuel with a new ephod every year. She wouldn't have gone to the local market or the local Primark to get this. This provision was an expression of her love for a son. She would have made this herself. Every stitch a stitch of love and pride in her son. Early one morning before the lamp of God had gone out. This lamp of God, in the temple in those days, they lit lamps at nightfall. And they burned all night and either went out in the morning or were extinguished in the morning. So the temple was always lit. So that's the lamp of God. Samuel heard a voice calling him. He got up and went to Eli saying, "Here I am, you called." Eli told him he had not called and Samuel should go back and lie down again. Samuel did as he was told and returned to his sleeping place. He heard the voice calling him twice more. Each time he went to Eli saying, "Here I am, you called." Eli sent Samuel away to go back to sleep. And the fourth time Eli realized that it was God speaking to Samuel. So Eli told him to go and lie down again. And if the voice called again, he was to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Samuel went and lay down again. And the voice called him again. So he said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." This must have been a very audible voice. Because at that time, there was only Samuel and Eli sleeping in the temple. Samuel was sleeping close to the Ark of the Covenant. You would have thought that was a special place for the high priest or something like that, but it wasn't. This is where Samuel slept. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." What the Lord said to Samuel must have come to a complete shock, for the Lord revealed, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end." Quite a powerful message. I say it must have come as a complete shock. Because at that time, it wasn't the norm for people to communicate with God. God was God, people were people. And all the people did, they came and praised God, brought their offerings, burnt offerings, and their petitions. Eli must have known what was coming when he asked this question. Eli called Samuel this morning and asked him if the Lord had spoken to him. When Samuel confirmed that the Lord had indeed spoken to him, Eli wanted to know everything. Don't hold everything back, because if you do, then it will happen to you. What's going to happen to me? So again, he must have known what was coming. He must have been expecting a confirmation of what God had said about him and his family, and the fact he hadn't intervened with his son's behaviour. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up. He let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. All Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognised that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And Samuel's word came to all Israel. There's so much more about Samuel. I really struggled with this morning, because as I was reading it, there's other things come in, all these battles that come in. They're always fighting with somebody, you know, there's blood, snot and teeth flying all over the place. So I really struggled with it, and I got distracted by all that. I came to the conclusion that the Israelites were not very popular with their neighbours. And I think sometimes we experience that, don't we? I mean, personally, when we moved into our house, we had neighbours, and they were brilliant neighbours. We really got on well with them. After 27 years, they decided that they're moving away. And of course, they think, what are we going to get? What are we going to get? But we have been blessed with such amazing neighbours next door. From day one, we got on so well with them. just brilliant, absolutely brilliant. So I tried to put the distractions aside and tried to get to the heart of Samuel and his calling. Samuel lived in the temple, even slept close to the Ark of the Covenant. Samuel served God diligently and obediently all through his childhood. Although in 1 Samuel 3:7 it states, Samuel didn't yet know God. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. He must have understood something of the workings of the temple, the Ark of the Covenant, the offerings, the sacrifices, and the burnt offerings. You see, to say, he went to the temple at 2 or 3 years of age. Now, those parents among you will know that a 2 to 3 year old is full of questions, absolutely full of questions. So I'm sure that Samuel would want to know all that was going on. God knew Samuel even before his conception. Was it part of God's plan that Anna would become so distressed and desperate for a son? God must have protected Samuel from the corruption going on around him. Without God's intervention, was there the possibility that Samuel would have thought this is the norm? That people are taking for themselves rather than giving to the people? God must have been in Elkanah's heart too. He loved Anna dearly. He didn't object to Samuel being given over to serve the Lord. Samuel must have been very special to Elkanah because he was Anna's son. He'd already got children by Peninnah, but Anna was special to him. So Samuel would have been special to Elkanah. Samuel, a gift from God. Was the fact that Samuel didn't just serve the Lord, he became a respected seer and prophet. A double blessing for Anna. A double blessing for Anna. God didn't just give her a son. He gave an immense blessing to Israel through him too. Samuel is another example of obedience to God. As we saw, it wasn't common in those days that God spoke to his people. God was God, people were people. They were just expected to trust God and bring sacrifices and offerings. It wasn't common for there to be dialogue between God and man. Going back to when God spoke to Samuel, this is so unusual, but he didn't face him. He accepted that, you know, eventually on the fourth attempt, he accepted that it was God speaking to him. And he didn't rush off into the distance thinking, no. He accepted it. So again, this must be God. The same as when God speaks to us. He gives you that peace that it's him that's speaking to you. He grew into his calling as the Lord continued to speak to him and guide him. We're talking about people of the Bible. God is raising similar people up nowadays. Is it our fallibility that we don't see it? Is there a message for us as a congregation or individually in this narrative? Later on we learn as Samuel grew into his calling, touring the lands, ruling over Israel. The Israelites demanded a king to rule over them and lead them in battle. So this was a period of transition for Israel, moving from leadership by priests to a monarchy. As a congregation, we are going through a period of transition. God is working in us for his purpose. It has been a smooth transition so far. I believe there is more to come. Lots more to come. Lots more to come. We are obedient. We love and trust in the Lord. Can you put that song up, Mary? Please. I believe God is saying to us, carry on doing what you are doing. Trust me for the substance and detail. We don't have to know. We don't have to know the next step. All we have to do is trust the Lord that he knows. He can look back in time, he can look forward in time. Nothing God does is on the spur of the moment. It's all part of his plan. No, that's fine. I will rest in the Father's hands. Leave the rest in the Father's hands. The substance and detail to God. God is saying, you know how much I love each and every one of you. You know how much God loves each and every one of you. Just as I doubly blessed Anna, so I'm about to pour out an even greater blessing on you, my people.